Time now for Minnesota Reads on Northland Morning. Our guest is Chuck Havoc. He joins us in the studio this morning, and he's the author of Christmas Here in Northern Lands, and the book is illustrated by local artist Aaron Kloss. Chuck, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Lisa. It's just great to be here.
Had a nice little weep this morning, nice little cry, read your book, we were talking about this, I kind of got a weird little advantage in the sense, because the book is so beautifully, beautifully illustrated by Aaron Kloss.
Mm-hmm.
But this morning, I was kind of looking through it online with what you had sent me, and I was just reading the poetry. So then I got out my Kleenex, and I wiped my eyes, and I had a little sniffle and a slurp of coffee and went back to trying to make the radio. But it's beautifully, beautifully moving.
Thanks.
I'd like you to read just a little piece of it, and then we'll talk a little bit about how the book came to be. But
okay.
I'd really kind of like to share some of your poetry with folks. So would you read a little
for
us, Chuck?
Through dark December solstice nights, we learn to love and seek the light, where Christmas light abounds and all around is found. In homes on balsam trees that bring deep forest green to where we live, on housetops and out in the snow-covered streets, on farms and in forests where nobody sees but the fox and the raven and chickadee. Watching alone under cool white stars and a soft winter moon that fill the trees on drifting hills with lovely pale December light. The silent gift of winter night that calls us all to come away, to rest a while and wait.
It is beautiful, beautiful poetry all the way through. So how did artist Aaron Kloss find out about that poem and say, I think I read someplace that he had said that when he read it, he could sort of see the paintings in his head already.
Yeah. Well, Aaron and I are old friends. We met here at UMD, and my daughters both actually came to me and said, why don't you send some poems to Aaron and do a collaboration with him? So I sent 5 poems to him, and he picked this one. Because of, I think he felt that visually it stirred some things inside of him. So then we started a collaboration to try to do something that would combine verse and art that could be more than either one of us, you know, separately. So
I see a lot of art, and when I say see, I guess I mean that in the most rudimentary sense, that it passes in front of my eyes and I'm kind of on to the next thing. As I was looking at the book and the illustrations, because I did take a look at the illustrations
mm-hmm.
this morning,
sure.
I found myself stopping and kind of getting sucked into them. They've got some really unique qualities. There's one illustration in particular that looks almost as though you're seeing it through a frosted window. It's
mm-hmm.
kind of pixelated. It's kind of broken up. And that, with some of the poignance of the poetry, really whacked me in the gut this morning, first thing, Chuck.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now,
cool. You've not been a lifelong poet, or have you been a lifelong poet?
No. I've been a poet for about a year and a half. On a sabbatical in my 61st year, I was just tired and needed rest and to recoup, and all of a sudden, this little fountain sprung up, and I started started writing. And I hadn't intended to do that, and especially not intending poetry. But I found something of another, you know, part of who I am, sort of sprung into life again. So it was really cool.
You must be a voracious reader.
Yeah, I read a lot, and I've always loved reading poetry, mostly from other centuries. But
even so, you don't have the words to use to say what you mean if you don't learn those words and those ways of expression, I think, by reading, because I don't think you can always get enough just from conversation
that's
with people.
That's very true. Yeah, I love words, and I loved, you know, I found I just loved the process. And so, I mean, I try to write every day, but reading is a huge part of it. And finding things you love, you know, that stir something. It just became about trying to touch something in, you know, find something in myself and then, and to connect with people on a deeper level. I feel like we're kind of skating over life so often, you know, just so fast, and wanted to slow it down and find a place to connect, you know, so.
Now that you're a poet, do you find that poetry comes to you? Do you have to carry like a little notebook or a pen or something so you can scribble things on your hand?
Yeah, it's very much like that for me. Someone told me, you know, you write drunk and you edit sober. You know, without the inspiration, like I can't just sit down and write something and decide I want to write something, but a thought or an image or something will come to me, and then really I try to stop right then and just write something, and then I can come back to that later. But it's that little inspiration that, you know, somehow connects, and, you know, I think, well, I could make this into a poem somehow. So,
and it really is, in a sense, like being, you know, out of your right mind, in air quotes, and you kind of have to sit down or stand up and scribble and go with it as long as it lasts.
Yeah.
And then, like you say, you can come back and you can tidy it up and make it neat and flesh it out later. But if you don't grab it while your brain is in that place, you can lose it.
Yeah, you sound like a writer.
Maybe,
you must be writing something.
Maybe someday. I tend to do that, to write these things in a white-hot sense of I need to communicate this. But then the part where I come back and tidy them up and actually do something with it, that part hasn't happened so far. Talk a little bit briefly about the collaboration process with Aaron. Did you get to see pictures as he went along because you're friends and you know one another and you have that kind of an informal relationship, or did you give him the poem and he went away and said, nope, not going to show you anything till it's done?
No, it was very much the former. I gave him the poem, you know, he chose it. Then we divided it up into 10 sections. So, and then he just started working on it, and he's very visual. He paints what he feels and not necessarily what he sees. So, but he would do sketches for me, and then my wife Sally and I would look at him, and I'd show him to our daughters, and we'd comment, but I think always I wanted to restrain my critique so that his, you know, creative process could be, you know, kind of unfettered. So, yeah, so it was both, you know, we did comment, and then he made certain changes, but, it was really his process, you know, and then you find, you know, it's kind of gut-wrenching in that, you know, you're envisioning all this when you start, and then you see a painting or you start seeing things and maybe it's not what you thought but then we worked through and then the collaborative process became really the best part of the whole thing. And it just, you know, I just realized that we came up with something that I could never have done myself, and that his partnership in it was really so essential to what we came up with. So.
So what are you working on next, you and Aaron? What are you going to do next?
Yeah, he just came to me the other day and talked about we'd like to do another book, possibly a children's book or more of a summer book, you know. But we're thinking about it, and I want to do just a little book of poems. So he promised he'd illustrate the cover for me, but so we got some things we're thinking about.
Chuck, it's a gorgeous work. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. What fun to meet you.
Thank you, Lisa.
Chuck Hovick, our guest in the studio this morning. His book is called Christmas Here in Northern Lands, and it's illustrated by Aaron Kloss. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.